Welcome back, listeners, Siouxland Catholic Radio, and you are listening to Faith in Action. It's a new show locally produced here by Channel 88.1 FM. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for today's show, and I'm talking with Father Mark Stoll. He's a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City. He is associated with the Diocesan Tribunal, and we've been focusing a lot on the sacrament of marriage and what happens when that sacrament needs a decree of nullity. So I'm just going to come right out of the chute because we were talking about what happens when everything goes south. And I just found out that my spouse cheated on me. So I went down and I got the marriage, I got the divorce, and now I'm moving on. And to me, that's enough grounds for annulment. Is that enough grounds for annulment?
It might be.
Okay.
It might not be.
Okay.
Again, that's why you want to call your parish priest and get the process started. And we could apply for grounds of infidelity. And again, the tribunal is going to be looking for, you know, was there history of infidelity before the exchange of vows? Again, in this day and age, you know, we see a lot of people are kind of basically not doing things they should be doing. I'm not going to get into that on the radio, but, you know, there could be a case of that. You know, while they're dating, even in the courtship, even during the engagement, you know, was this person being completely faithful to his intended spouse?
Or her.
Yep, exactly. Works both ways.
Does.
And so that could be grounds. Now, if everything was hunky-dory and 30 years later, all of a sudden the person, you know, goes off and starts having an affair, you know, that may not be grounds. But again, the tribunal is going to look at every possibility, you know, and you know, when applying for annulment, and it's a lot of work because a person who's applying for annulment is going to have to basically write their life story, answer a lot of questions, you know, kind of talk about their lives, their former spouse's life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, basically we don't leave any stone unturned. I mean, some of the questions we ask, you know, it gets very, very personal. But again, we want to make sure that we are looking at every aspect of the person's life at the time of the consent and before, and then, of course, what happened afterwards, because you know, sometimes you can see a pattern that starts before and goes through. But it's a lot of work, and it's painful, to be honest, you know, the questions that we ask. And I wanted to point out, too, that the tribunal, the normal process, you know, too, is really a ministry of healing, because we can take a look at what was going on at the time, because we may have been blind to some of the behaviors of a future spouse, deaf or dumb to it. And, you know, maybe there's indications of problems already, but we weren't seeing it. So through the process of the annulment, you know, hopefully down the road, the person may be a little more aware, you know, of what's going on with themselves or with others. So again, it becomes a ministry of healing. So I want to focus on that too, because people really talk about kind of the technical aspects of it too. But when we talk about faith in action, we're talking about, you know, really the tribunal is there to assist people to help them through this time, the turmoil of divorce and loss, and hopefully move on and deepen their faith. And I know many Catholics who've gone through annulments who have become much stronger Catholics, very more active in their parish and you know, very faithful. So again, it's a difficult thing to do, to go through that annulment. But
now, if I remember correctly, when talking to friends who have gone through annulments, this takes a while, especially if both individuals are baptized Catholics, or even if one individual is a baptized Catholic and was married invalidly in the church. This takes a while because there's a lot of material that has to be gathered. Mm-hmm. There's, I believe, not only the interview or the person writes their life story, but you also interview perhaps friends who, you know, can attest to, oh, yeah, we saw this the whole time, but we didn't want to hurt John or Mary's feelings, and so we just kind of did a lot of nodding. And then there's also the reaching out to the former spouse. And I think that's of interest, too, because sometimes the former spouse will cooperate and go, yeah, you know, we did the best we could, but darn it, we just, it did not work, and so might cooperate. But what happens when that spouse refuses to cooperate? Does that then put the kibosh on my annulment?
No, that would not put the kibosh on your annulment. And you're right, because, again, we're not only collecting the story from the person who filed for the annulment, but also we want to collect the stories from other people, you know, the former spouse. If the former spouse wishes to participate, that's great, because then we get another side of the story, because, you know, it takes two people to make a marriage, and there's two sides to every story. But also, we talk about the family and friends, and we call them witnesses. And so we want to get, you know, their points of view too, what was going on. And then that helps us to verify, you know, the truth of the matter. And so again, most of this, what we're doing is through writing. You know, we send out questionnaires, and then people fill out and return those questionnaires to us with their answers. And sometimes the delay in the process is because people don't do their homework. You know, we may give someone 30 days to respond, and it's 60 days, and then it's 90 days. Well, that's what's going to lengthen the time of the annulment process. And so we usually encourage folks who are applying for annulment, you know, you obviously cannot coach your witnesses, but please tell them, please cooperate as soon as you get the questionnaire. And again, we will do our best to receive the testimony from the other spouse too. If they don't cooperate, then we will move on without. And we have that ability to do that, because if someone doesn't want to cooperate, you know, that won't hinder it. We're going to maybe have a little bit less information than we would like to have, but maybe someone's lack of response may also indicate to us maybe what the person who is applying for annulment is saying is true.
Is there a cost involved in doing this?
You know, there used to be a cost, and when Pope Francis became Pope, he asked all tribunals to cease applying fees. And so for the most part, most dioceses have done that. And so if there's any cost to it, it may be just some extraneous fee or whatever it might be. But thankfully, in the Diocese of Sioux City, every fall we get the TAO, the Together as One, formerly known as the DAA. And that money that we collect from parishioners, and there's other monies too that the diocese has that we then use to fund the operation of the tribunal, which again is paying for salaries and paying for, you know, like paper and postage and all that. So the key thing to remember is that even when there was a fee, it was not a payment to get annulment. It was a payment for the tribunal to do the work. And so again, just because someone paid the fee doesn't automatically mean you're going to get annulment. But we've eliminated those fees because sometimes we in the United States, you know, we have this consumer mentality. I'm going to get what I pay for. And so we've eliminated the fees. So no fee, but we're going to do the work for you. It's a ministry of the church. And, you know, hopefully we can give you the answer that that you want, but we may not be able to. So, you know, we have to be prepared for that also.
So say I go through the whole process and I do get a decree of
yes.
Nullity. Okay. Does that mean that my marriage never took place, or is, you know, because there's mm-hmm. graces associated with marriage mm-hmm. and, you know, they often say even if a priest is laicized, he's kind of a priest forever. Am I married forever, even though I got the decree of nullity?
Well, obviously we're going to say, you know, because when you got married, you would have had to go through the state and get the marriage certificate from the state and say that. So it happened according to the eyes of the state. And so, again, when it comes to children, even, again, you know, you have a responsibility to your children, whatever the state says in the divorce decree. But also, we would say you have a responsibility just because you're the mother or the father of those children. So you have a kind of a spiritual responsibility. So, you know, however the state outlines that, whatever it might be. But, again, you know, you're free to remarry, but, you know, again, The wedding that took place in the church, you know, it looked good, but there was something missing. So again, according to the state, yeah, you were married. In the eyes of the church, no, you weren't. But, you know, hopefully you got some graces out of it.
One would hope. What about those children? Are they illegitimate?
They are not illegitimate.
They are your,
yeah.
Darn.
Yeah. Apparently you've got children out there, don't you, Joanne?
I do.
And so they also have the legitimate right to, you know, provide for you when you get older and retire. And
God, we could only hope.
But yeah, you know, really only the state can, you know, declare someone illegitimate or whatever the case is. And really the reality is in the 1917 Code of Canon Law, right now we're using the 1983 code, but in the 1917 code, the only time that illegitimacy was utilized was for someone who wanted to become a priest.
Oh.
Was he a child of a validly married husband and wife?
Interesting. Now, listeners, that could be a Jeopardy question maybe someday.
So, but never have we used it in any other place. And but again, people come up this concern, is my children illegitimate now that my marriage has been declared invalid?
No, not so much.
They are legitimate.
They are legitimate.
If they are your children, they are your
legitimate. Say that three times. The other thing that, you know, people can be petty, and there are instances where individuals who have been married a long time, you know, 30 years, four kids, and all of a sudden John and Mary are getting the divorce, and now one of them is seeking an annulment, and oh my gosh, she gets, or he gets, the decree of nullity.
Yes.
And I know there are petty people that go, well, what was going on there? I mean, God, I guess anybody could get a decree if John and Mary got one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for the listeners to realize that you know, something was going on.
Yeah, and again, that's something that's between them, you know, the husband and wife and God. Again, if they want to share what was going on, but as far as the tribunal is concerned, everything's confidential. So, you know, we're not going to put it in the lumen. We're not going to put it on the radio. You know, what happened to John and Mary? So it's all confidential.
And that's the best part. Well, listeners, I really hope that you have learned a lot about the tribunal, and especially its work with marriage cases, those that need a decree of nullity. And that's kind of what this show is all about, is enlightening you to know a little bit more about your faith. And so that wraps up today's broadcast of Faith in Action. I want to thank my guest, Father Mark Stoll, who is a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City.
Thank you.
Always good to have you on. He's also associated with the Diocesan Tribunal, which is why we had him on, and not just anybody. And great, valuable information on the Tribunal. I want to remind you, Faith in Action is a show that's locally produced by Siouxland Catholic Radio. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m., and if you would like to listen to this program again, you can visit our website, SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com. And remember, listeners, a faithful reaction can be good, but faith in action is better. Thanks for listening.